You guys ever, by the way, I'm about to show you one of, in my opinion, one of the most intimate passages God ever wrote to his children. I have no doubt that many, if not most, and really should be true of all of us that are saved, would you please listen to what your Heavenly Father wants to tell you this morning? Because it's very important. It's important for me. It's important for the oldest child of God in this room, down to the youngest. The title of my message is, Listen, My Child. Listen, My Child. And we'll be looking at these verses, 4 through 11, Hebrews 12, 4 through 11. Verse 5 says, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Have you ever, when you were young girls, did you ever have a certain way you would try to get your dad's attention? I think of my daughter, Stephanie. She loved to be tickled. I called her my little tickle monster. And many times she would just say, Daddy, tickle me. And I, you know, she'd catch me at the wrong moment. I'm headed out to mow. I've got something I'm doing in the house. And she'd say, Daddy, and she'd go away. Daddy, tickle time. And I'd say, maybe later. And she'd get so frustrated. Normally she'd wait till I'm sitting down or I'd be laying on the bed trying to take a nap. And she would literally jump on me and put her face right in front of mine and go, tickle time. Now, my adopted granddaughter, Trinity, I love to watch her with her dad. Her dad has a big beard and she'll talk and talk. And when she starts talking to him and he's not paying attention, she will climb up on his lap. Many times I've seen her do this on the couch, or she'll climb up at the table, kitchen table, and she will literally grab his beard and hold his head still and say, Daddy, I'm talking to you. Did you girls do that? I never did that, but I kind of heard the opposite from my father, my earthly father. My dad didn't ever like disciplining. My mom was the disciplinarian, actually German and I think Nazi. But my dad, he would say, especially as I remember being a teenager, he'd say, son or boy, look at me when I talk to you. Look at me when I'm speaking to you. See, my dad knew I was listening, but I really wasn't listening. I'd like to challenge all my brothers and sisters here today to listen. Because God wants you to pay attention to something he shares. And notice he mentions the fact in verse 5, he says, ye have forgotten the exhortation. It's very easy to forget. And that's why I've entitled this, Listen, My Child. You see, it's our tendency as God's children to forget this wonderful, wonderful exhortation. But God this morning is trying to get your attention and saying to you, now, son, daughter, look at me. I want to tell you something. The word chastening is used 7 times in this passage. It does not necessarily or even mean to spank. The word means to train a child, to educate a child, to instruct or discipline a child. I think it's interesting, before I move on, that 7 times the word chasten or chasteneth or chastening is used. And only once is the word scourging used. Do you see that in verse 6? I'm not trying to say too much about that, but 7 times God tells us over and over, I'm instructing you, I'm disciplining you. Hey, do I have your attention? But only once does he use the word scourging. You see, this morning, our reaction right now where you and I are at, and every one of us, if you're saved, you're being chastened. You're being instructed. Even this message for me was God speaking to me. But our reaction to what our Father is trying to teach us will not be right if we do not view what he does to us as being right. You see, the spiritual problem is not that we take our problems too lightly, but we take the Lord's training too lightly. We're prone to take our problems way too seriously and God's chastening or his instruction for us too lightly. Number one, I want you to see with me the problems of our Father's chastening. The problems of our Father's chastening. There are 2 that he mentions. Go back to verse 4. The writer says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against them. By the way, in talking about our Savior in the first three verses, Jesus strove to blood. But he reminds the readers, these early Christians, look, all our Lord did, and he shed his blood. You haven't yet given your blood for being a Christian. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. The writer is quoting Proverbs 3:11, which reads this way. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Now, notice there are two problems. They leap out at us. And every one of us in this room, I don't care who we are, the men on this platform and ladies, all of us, faculty, staff, students, those watching that are born again people, we tend to, when we don't react to the fact that God is trying to chasten, train, show us, teach us, we tend to have two problems. The first one's to despise. Word despise literally means to take lightly, to neglect, to make light of. You see, sometimes while God is in the process of walking side by side with us, and that's the word exhortation. Did you see that? You have forgotten the exhortation. The side by side counsel that God is always trying to instruct us with. When bad things begin to happen or things that confuse us, we tend to react by despising it. Now, you can despise the chastening of the Lord right now where you're seated. You're not paying any attention to your Father in heaven. It's not important, young people, you listen to me, but it's important we all, as God's children, listen to him. Amen. And he says, look, some of you have a tendency to despise my chastening. Now, we do that by many different ways. Once, we complain. We complain because we believe that what's going on in our life, what God is doing or allowing, just doesn't seem right to us. Sometimes we question. The why to God is not for a reason. We're just simply challenging. And sometimes we can talk to ourselves that way, not realizing that God indwells us and hears all our questions and has to put up with all our snotty attitudes. Sometimes we're careless. I believe that I probably spend more of my time and have spent more of my time as a son of God being careless while God's been trying to show me. The second problem is mentioned in that verse, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. The word faint means to be weary, to lose courage, to be enfeebled. In other words, it means you just quit. You just stop. Many, many believers have quit. If we just took a little microcosm of time called Ambassador Baptist College, and we're 33 years old. In March we'll be another year age. No, it'd be anyway. I'll let younger guys figure that out. You know, just our little margin of time called Ambassador Baptist College. Brother Beal and Brother Hanke, they've been around. They actually were students here. I came after Brother Bill graduated and right when Brother Hanke, but they can tell you dozens and dozens and dozens upon dozens upon many, many young people who quit. Maybe there's a brother or sister here this morning and you're thinking about quitting. Now, I didn't say you're going to quit school. Maybe you are. But you're thinking about quitting in an area that, listen, before you quit, would you do your Heavenly Father a favor, if I can say it that way, and just listen to him this morning? Amen. He wants you to understand. He knows good and well what you're going through. And he says, but why don't you listen? Why don't you pay attention? I know what's going on in your life. And don't quit. Listen, most children who do not receive chastening will always react in one of these two ways. Now, maybe you're at the despising phase. Maybe you're at the fainting phase. Listen, my child. Number one, the problems of our Father's chastening. Number two, notice the promises of our Father's chastening in verses 6-8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, let me just stop and point out that the ETH endings on those verbs, you see that? loveth, chasteneth, scourgeth. They're all present tense. That means whom the Lord is always loving, and that's you. God never stops loving us. He doesn't even love us a little less because we forgot to get up on time and forgot our devotions. God doesn't love us more when we do things or less when we don't do things. His love is a perfect love. It's an eternal love. And those who the Lord is always loving, He's always chastening. You see, chastening is a very, very intimate, important part of our life. And maybe if you got nothing else out of this message, you can at least rejoice in that you have a Heavenly Father that always loves you. And because He always loves you, He's going to chasten you. And if He has to, He'll scourge you. And it's interesting how the writer says this. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The idea there is God will love you and He will chasten you. And if He has to, He'll scourge. That's the only word used in this passage that actually refers to spanking or whipping. And the word receive means it pleases Him to bring you to Himself. It pleases Him. When God has to get really close to us, and we all, as young people, we all know we've been scourged. You realize when God does that, He's bringing you very close to Himself. Have you ever thought about that? You know, you and I, we look at those painful times and say, this hurts. And God, somehow I think you're involved in the hurt. When God the whole time is saying, yes, and I'm pulling you very close to me, and I'm having to scourge you. But it's only because I love you. It's not because I love you less. You see, God's love is eternal, infinite, always upon His children. And so must His chastening be. Just as His love saves us, predestinates, redeems, convicts, justifies, on and on and on, so must His chastening. Did you ever hear a parent say this? This spanking is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. You know, my mother used to say that. I didn't understand it. In fact, I used to bend over the bed waiting for my belt and think, as I got a little older, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Then I became a parent. And I began to understand. But how can I ever understand the infinite love of God? And even the perfect scourging that He does to His sons and daughters, who when He does it, He draws them close to Himself. You see, the first promise of God's chastening is because He loves us. But number two, notice in verses 7 and 8, because we're His. We're His sons and daughters. The Bible says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You see, my friends, all God's children are subject to God's chastening and punishment, but only His children receive His chastening. God doesn't spank the devil's kids. Listen to me. God does not spank or chasten the devil's kids. He does His own. Even when the scourging is done by God, He does it because He loves us. So what's our part? Children, what's our part? To endure. You know what that word endure means? It's a common word in our Bible, our New Testament. It means to remain. Remain in place. Don't despise it. Don't quit. Endure it. Suffer patiently. In fact, one of the definitions I found for the word endure is to stay behind when others have departed. Listen, there have been good men and women who attended this school who quit on God. And if they had just endured a little bit longer, maybe they would have understood. This is being done by my Father. This is being allowed by my Father because He loves me so much. And He knows what I need. This special relationship, brethren, between God and us is underlined in verse 8. You see, the writer says, if you don't have chastening, whereof God's promise, He's going to give it to us all, then you're a bastard. The word bastard means born out of wedlock, one who has no father to train them. You know, at one time or another, we have wanted to discipline someone else's children. I often give the illustration about little Adolf. My favorite illustration is actually a true illustration, but you walk into Walmart. And the other day, my wife and I were in Walmart, and there was a little Adolf. You walk in and you hear his scream. He's only four, but his voice fills the entire Super Walmart. I mean, you hear it just as soon as you walk in the entry. You get your buggy. That's what they call it in the South, by the way. Yankees, it's a buggy. Okay? You get your cart, your buggy, and you begin walking. And, you know, as you're walking, it's like he's on the intercom system. And as you go through the store to your frequented places of shopping, like we do, we know where everything is. Have you noticed Walmart completely switches everything every so many weeks? Either that or dementia is getting stronger in my life. But as you're going up and down the aisles, the little monster's voice is louder, and you begin to understand. He's screaming, "No, I hate you. Stop it." And you hear the mother, "Now stop it, son, stop it. I hate you. I want this." And then you turn the corner, and there he is. He's in the cart, and there's a little bassinet on the front part, a little baby that mom's trying to take care of and keep him from jumping out and grabbing things. And he's just screaming at her. Don't tell me you haven't met this kid. And you know what you're thinking. You are thinking someone needs to shut that little punk up. He's disturbing the whole store. But when you see him reaching up, pulling his young mother's hair, and she's almost in tears, you thought, I'd love to walk up and say, "Ma'am, here is my driver's license and a credit card. Can I borrow your son for 4 minutes? Just 4 minutes. I will come back, I promise you." Yep. But one time this really happened. It's happened more than once. But one time this kid was just brutalizing his young mother. And there was a little tiny baby in the cart, in the bassinet. And I slowed down. And I fixed my attention on that little kid. And he happened to see me staring at him, giving him a frown. And you know what he did to me? He just stuck his tongue out. And, you know, just for a minute, I wanted to grab him by the back of his neck and apply some chastening. You know, I finished my shopping and got everything in, paid for it, went out to the parking lot. Can I tell you something? And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but as soon as I started my car and drove off, I forgot all about that kid. You know why? He's not mine. We're God's. And no matter if we're throwing temper tantrums or might as well stick your tongue out at your Heavenly Father today, He's not going to stop. Because He loves us and we're His. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes," or diligently. Number one, the problems in God's chastening of us. Number two, the promises of God's chastening us, because He loves us, we're His. But in closing, number three, the products of our Father's chastisement. The products. I pick out at least three. Listen, beginning of verse 9 down through 11, there are three things God wants His children to have in their life. Listen, you ever notice well-behaved kids? I noticed now that Ben's not here, he and Jennifer, Ben Help, boy, he slowed down a little bit. Ben and Jennifer met here. Honestly, did you guys get to see their kids? Beautiful children, but well-behaved. You ever notice or think about this? The universal testimony of all well-behaved children is that they had disciplining or chastening parents. Maybe people said you were a good kid. And you know why you were a good kid. You had a mom and a dad that loved you, and they disciplined you. Notice the first product is in verse 9, respect. God says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Is it too much to ask this morning? I'm a son of God. Many of my brothers are here. You ladies, you daughters of God. Is it too much for God to ask for our respect? Do you realize that much of what's called Christianity has lost its respect of God? How do you know this, Brother Spencer? Just watch it. Watch a service. It's all about men. It's all about what they want. It's all about flesh. It's all about giving glory to someone or some organization. Doesn't God, our Father, deserve our respect? The second one is found in verse 9, the last two words, and live. You know, the Bible, if I had time, and I won't take it, it's interesting how many times the Bible, especially in the New Testament, but the law too. Remember what the law said? If a son, I always thought that was interesting. He didn't say daughter, ladies. If a son would not listen to his parents, he was to be taken before the judges of the village. And he was to be stoned to death. In the New Testament, we read the sin unto death. We read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, some because of their partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. By the way, in the presence of Christ, we're sick, weak, some dead. You know, God doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants our lives to be full of life. The word life, if you look that word up, it means to be possessed with vitality, to exercise the functions of life. Listen, God wants His children to grow up and to be good, law-abiding, happy people. Jesus would state when he walked on this earth, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The word abundantly means over and above, extraordinary, greater, excessive, exceedingly. You know, when we're not responding very well to our Heavenly Father, we don't look at life like that. Bitterness takes away the vitality God wants us to have as His children. Not only respect, not only life and life abundantly, but notice in verse 10, holiness. For they, speaking of our earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. You know what God our Father is telling us? You that had an earthly father who would chasten you, they did it for their own pleasure. Now, the idea is they did it in the way they thought was acceptable, that which made sense to them and gave them pleasure. But He, God our Father, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Should we not be like our Father in heaven? You know, it's interesting, that word partakers, I found it interesting. It is the word meta lambano. The idea is God literally, because we're His spiritual DNA, He literally helps us partake in His holiness. Now, we're not holy like just God. We're not ever omniscient like God, although we can share in the mind of Christ. Did you know we share? He literally, through the Spirit of God, allows us to have His holiness. Unless we're a brat. Right now, I'm almost done, but right now, where you're at in your life, does God have your attention? Right now, does your Father have your attention in heaven? Don't you know how much He loves you? And even the things maybe you go through, He's been saying, you know, I allowed this. I want you to be like me. Won't you respect me? You look down on your life. You look at all the things you've given up. I want you to have an abundant life, a supernatural life, all the way to heaven. But I really like you to be like me. Are you listening to your Father today? Some closing thoughts. Chastisement itself is never meant to be pleasant. That's why God says, if you endure chastening. You see, if chastening were always pleasant, it would not be very corrective, would it? We go to great lengths to endure medicine, surgery, physical therapies, many treatments for better health. Well, how much more should we be willing to endure our Father's chastening and His treatment of our spiritual needs? If we compare our chastening with our sin, is it not a marvel that God's chastening is not heavier on every man and woman in this room? And then notice he says in verse 11, "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." That word exercised is the word we get gymnasium from. What the writer's trying to tell you is, unlike your earthly father, there's no perfect earthly father. None. Some of us have better fathers than others, but even a good earthly father had his limitations. You know, I remember one day when I was, I think, 12, I counted 5 spankings. One day. I remember going to my room thinking, what's wrong with me? I think my mom stopped because she got tired. God never gets tired. God never gets tired. He never gets tired of chastening us because He never gets tired of loving us. He will exercise His loving chastisement that it might produce fruit in our life. Oh, one more thing and I'm done. Verses 12, part of 13. "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." You know what I read when I think about my Father in heaven? Trying to really speak to each one of us today. It's like he says in verses 12 and 13, no pouting. Because that's what we do. We don't like the way our life has gone. There's been trouble. And this morning, if you've been listening, not to me, but to your Father, our Father speaking to us. Some of you maybe this morning said, you know, I've been despising the chastening of my Heavenly Father. I fainted. And I'm thinking about fainting now. God says, all right, now that we've got that cleared up, no pouting. Did you ever get, with my kids, when we got done with disciplining them, and it wasn't always, as they got older, it wasn't spanking. You know, sometimes when you hit those teenage years and your mom or dad sets you down to have a talk, you're going, I'd rather them spank me than have to go on and listen to this. You know, we're the same way with our Father. He doesn't always spank. Sometimes He tries to have a timeout, tries to get your attention. But I remember saying to my kids when the discipline was over, okay, we don't cry, we don't pout, just get on with life. What are you going to do this morning? Are you listening to your Heavenly Father? Thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts. Lord, I pray we were listening. In Jesus' name.